We are now on our fourth week of our series on the Ten Commandments, and as we have done every week up to this point, I will once again invite you to turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17, where we will read the Ten Commandments as a whole, and specifically we will focus on command number 4. So once again, I invite you to follow along in your own Bible or device, where you can take a pew Bible from in front of you, or you can simply listen as I read these words from Exodus chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, "I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth beneath or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gate. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor." The psychologist Carl Abraham said that a considerable number of persons are able to protect themselves against the outbreak of serious neurotic phenomenon only through intense work. He went on to say that the mental balance, which has been maintained with difficulty through working, is overturned for the duration of a Sunday, a holiday, or possibly even a longer period. And then when work begins again, the patient immediately feels better. So let me recap that for you. This psychologist studied many people, all kinds of people, and looked at their work habits, how they viewed work and how work worked in their brain and what it meant for them. And he found that there was this sense of normalcy, this sense of stability when we found intense work to be a part of. And that stability and that feeling of purpose left us when we took a holiday or took a Sunday to stop working, or if we took a vacation or a sabbatical. And he said that that sense of stability and normalcy returned when we returned to that intense work. Michael Zigarelli did a survey of 13,000 Christians several years back. It's no small sample, 13,000 Christians. 60% of them said that busyness of life gets in the way of developing a relationship with God. 43% of them said they rush from task to task. And nearly 75% said I'm often or always exhausted at the end of my day. You see, it seems like we're stuck between a rock and a hard place, doesn't it? We really like our work. We like to work. Yeah, it may be your career or your job. It may be work around the house. It may be work in the community, something where you're using your hands and giving of your precious time, your resources, your energy to work. We like work, and work is a part of the created order. And yet at the same time, that work has become so intense It has become so much a part of who we are that we are uncomfortable stopping our work, even for a limited time, for a day, or for a week. We have this incessant need to work. If only there was something in our faith that could tell us it was okay to stop and rest. If only God had worked something into the rhythm of the created order. If only God had given us something in the pinnacle of the Old Testament law. If only God had given us something that found its culmination in the person of Jesus Christ, that we could rest, then maybe we could give ourselves permission to rest, right? Well, clearly not, because God has done that. It truly seems off. It seems awkward that God has to command us to rest, doesn't it? The Ten Commandments are supposed to be a struggle. They're supposed to be those laws that we have trouble with, that we are tempted by. You would think command number four, we'd be all over that, wouldn't we? Keep the Sabbath day holy, find rest and recreation. That God commands us to rest. God commands us to rest in this fourth command in the Ten Commandments. A command to rest for a day of the week, but as we expand the thought of Sabbath, perhaps longer, something we work into the routines of our life. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. God chose to include this command in the Ten Commandments. It's not really up to us to determine if it's applicable. It's not really up to us to say, you know, that one's impractical. I can't stop. There's too much to do. God didn't leave us that choice. Now I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Jeremy, what about Mark 2? What about where Jesus gives us permission to exert work and to exert muscle power on the day of our Sabbath? Jesus made an exception. I know. But I think if you believe that Jesus was giving us permission to throw away the Sabbath altogether, I think you may be missing the point. You see, our day of rest is directly related to God's day of rest. God chose to rest not because God was tuckered out. Do you think that on day 7, God said, you know, I can't do anymore? Do you think on day 7, God said, I'm sore? I can't create anymore. No, God chose to rest because it would be a part of the order of the cosmos. The seventh day isn't an epilogue of the creation narrative. The seventh day where God chose to rest is as important as in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, or God created the light, or God created the animals of the sea, or God created the animals of the air, or God created humankind. God chose to rest on the seventh day is as part of a reality as is our presence here, period. And so maybe we don't think it's as important because Jesus gave us grace from approaching the entirety of the law, and specifically, Sabbath keeping. He gave us grace from a legalistic approach. Jesus tells us, though, that the Sabbath was made for us and that we weren't made for the Sabbath. Sabbath is a gift. It is to be of benefit. It is not a burden or law for the sake of following the law. Jesus also says that he is Lord of the Sabbath. And Jesus also says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus didn't tell us to throw away the Sabbath. Jesus didn't say, do away with the Ten Commandments. Now, I think Jesus is the reason our Sabbath keeping must continue. It remains a command for us, but it is a law of grace. You see, Sabbath, as we learn it through Jesus, expresses something about who God is. Sabbath expresses something about what God values in the creation and what God asks of us. It tells us how God has ordered the creation. And so, yes, just as work, stewardship of our time and our resources, and living out our faith, spiritual work, work with our hands, is a part of the created order, so is stopping and resting. So practicing Sabbath is truly a faith act, isn't it? Doing Sabbath and practicing Sabbath is an act of faith. By practicing Sabbath, we're saying God is in control. It reminds us that God is in control, and that even though we rest, it reminds us that the world goes on without us, even when we choose to stop working for a day. Puts things in perspective, doesn't it? We have a tendency to believe the world can't function without our incessant work, right? If I'm not using my hands, then the world around me is going to crumble. If I'm not there pushing you to work or pushing myself to work, then the world around us is going to crumble. Because we believe that our world, our families, our homes, our schools, our careers, our finances, our cities will suffer and fail because we stop working for a day. Or a couple of weeks a year. If we don't do the laundry today, our favorite shirt will not be ready for work on Monday. If we don't pull weeds on the Sabbath, our house will be overtaken. If we don't keep our work email open on the desk on Sunday, we might miss something. If we're not picking up extra hours, we won't be able to save for that new car. We all know that feeling. We've been there. We've done that. Work feels right, doesn't it? Stopping work, however, feels like we're forsaking something or someone. But God asks us to step out on faith. God asks us to step out on faith and practice rest, and to ultimately leave our world and the world around us in God's hand. Sabbath is a regular time to stop and acknowledge that the world doesn't depend on us, and instead reflect and worship and meditate on the fact that God is in control. And work itself is not the end-all, be-all. In fact, it actually increases the value of our work when we stop and rest and reflect on the work God calls us to. When we stop, the creation around us continues. God continues to create, and God continues to sustain even when we stop. I would challenge you, have faith and keep a Sabbath. That may seem like an obvious challenge from a preacher. It might be one that you plan on walking out of here and have no intent of observing. Keep a Sabbath. For most of you, that is today. For some of you, that won't be today. Today isn't my Sabbath day, by the way, and that's okay. Well, I think that's kind of what Jesus was talking about when Jesus says, don't miss the point of the Sabbath. The Sabbath is a time to rest, to find recreation, to listen to God through prayer. For some of you, it may look different. Your Sabbath day may look entirely different from someone else's Sabbath day. If today's a Sabbath day for you, you may be out on the mower cutting your yard. You may be sitting there with the loud engine noise, with headphones in, saying, this is pretty restful. I can relax and enjoy this creation while I'm out here in my yard. Some of you may go home and Netflix and chill. For the three of you that understood that, that's okay. Yesterday was a Sabbath for me, but I was tired. We went on a hike with our two girls and dog. The first time the four of us, I know it's hard to believe, we've lived here 2 years. The first time the four of us have ventured out to one of our local trails here in Western North Carolina, because it's about the first time that our girls could make it over to Tom's Creek Falls. We had a great time. We were pretty tired when all was said and done. Does that mean that we were working? No, it was rejuvenation. It was recreation. We were resting in the beauty of God's creation. We had family time. We made a meal together. We watched The Desolation of Smog. It was rest. It was relaxation. It was rejuvenation. Jesus reminds us that Sabbath is less about an exact science and more about a proper rhythm of rest, work, and most importantly, grace. But don't forget this part of Sabbath keeping either. Sabbath is also a regular opportunity to practice reconciliation, justice, and peace. Sabbath is more than just our individual ability to rest. Sabbath is a sign to the rest of the world that God is a God of freedom and rest. And so, yes, you should rest for yourself, but you should also give others around you permission to rest and to make this day holy. The scriptures tell us that it is not just you, but your children, your servant, your animals, the foreigner in your land. Everyone must rest on the Sabbath day. And of course, as we explore the Old Testament and learn about this Sabbath, we learn that it ties in with all kinds of justice, for loan forgiveness, slave liberation, releasing bonds. Sabbath is a rest and rest from bondage. Sabbath is freedom. Yes, we work, but we also free others of the bondage we put on them, even our land. I saw an article yesterday about a certain prominent sandwich shop where a manager fired an employee. She asked for something, I guess, that was unacceptable in our culture of work. She asked for maternity leave. And he fired her. He said, we can't afford that right now. We've got a problem, folks. I sometimes hear people talk about how bad the world's getting. I think that could be debatable. I think God is doing a lot of good things in our world. But clearly we have challenges. One of those challenges is our obsession with work, our inability to find grace to extend to others, our inability to give someone maternity leave. You see, this is where Sabbath keeping becomes quite countercultural, doesn't it? As a follower of Christ, you must extend rest to others. My final question to you is, how often do you paint the Christian faith or the Christian life in terms of rest? I know that often here at First Baptist Church, we talk about all the things we have to do. Ministry projects, mission projects, fellowships, getting the work of the church done, both in the front and behind the scenes. We talk about a lot of work here, don't we? How often at First Baptist Church do you hear, let's rest? How often in the life of this church, as we consider our future together and vision together about where God is leading this church, how often have we said, how will we incorporate Sabbath into what we are doing as a church family? I think we can do better. I think most churches can do better. I think most bodies of Christ are thinking about all the ways we can work to make our churches vibrant. I know I'm guilty of that. We talk about all the things we can do. Start this, start this, start this. Buy this, buy this, buy this. Purchase this, purchase this, purchase this. And we don't work a day of rest. We don't work a season of rest into what we're doing as a church. Once again, I don't think that's a First Baptist Church problem. I think that's an issue the universal church must face head on in the days, months, and years to come. Sabbath keeping is not an optional perk of following Christ. It is the rhythm God has laid out for the world and for the church. Come to me, all you who are weary, and I will give you rest. Are we living that out? Where can we do better? Let's pray together.